Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2G in the Droid, and I'm the control operator for this Alimark Technical Net. Been going strong for over 45 years now, and every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, we sit in front of our radios and we chat with each other, and we teach each other, and we learn from each other, and hopefully we're all entertained by each other. I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m., and we try this all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual link. If you would like to reach me via email, one of my email addresses is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Call WS2N and ask them to take a look at a space or NASA-related story and comment. His email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. As always, I offer you a link page. I cut and paste interesting articles and YouTubes I've seen throughout the week, and I put them up on the link page, and you can read them at your leisure. They remain available for the rest of the year, at least. You get there by typing into your web browser, roy.ac2gs.com. That'll take you to the link page. Fortunately, we still don't have a chat room back. We offer an audio stream on the internet. If you have a friend who doesn't have a radio and would like to listen in, tell him to type into his browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that is a output audio link through the internet. I originally put it up to run during the technical net, but a few people asked me to keep it live the rest of the week. So if you're looking for a way of listening into the Glen Oaks repeater without a radio, that's it. Just type into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com. And I always like to remind people that Mike, AC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. And it has archives of the Alimark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who have come before. Some of them have moved away from the area, and others, unfortunately, have become silent keys over the years. So check it out when you have a chance. Not during the technical net, please, but other times. In the middle of the night, if you got a bad case of insomnia, or the middle of the day when you're a little bored, go check it out. Lots of information that's very useful. Okay, well, let me drop, and I'll tell you what we got planned for tonight. We have a standard operating edition of the Alimark Technical Net. I have some little bits and pieces about artificial intelligence, which is guaranteed to continue making the news for the foreseeable future, and it will affect us all one way or the other, good news or bad news. So I'll be relaying a few bits and pieces and then listening to your responses, if you have any. And then we're going to go to the main, where I will ask people for questions, comments, and topics of interest. Preferably, I would like the first few to be amateur radio related, but I will accept any science and or technology topic and try my best. I would like the first few to be amateur radio related. I would also prefer if the short questions went first. Occasionally we have people who have multi-segmented, multi-part presentations, and I ask them to have patience with us all and allow us to kind of slide you down to the bottom of the list so that the people who just have a simple, quick question can ask it and get on with their lives. So that's the game plan. I will drop, and when I come back, I'll tell you a little bit of my news to the last week.
A2NE.
Yes, Sam?
Good evening, Roy. Just checking in, saying hello, and standing by.
Okay, Sam. By the way, for everyone listening, unfortunately, it seems that the repeater's link to EchoLink is down, and I can't reboot it at my shack. So we may not be hearing from too many people. As Echo Link, we have people from Florida and Pennsylvania who are YouTube leaders on the net, but they probably won't be able to accomplish that tonight. So you're listening on the audio stream. Sorry, Echo Link doesn't seem to be working. Anyway, whatever it is, I didn't know.
Boy, the signal is
broken
up.
The signal is broken up. We reboot. The RF says a possible aspect of what was in the problem with that. I guess.
Okay, guys, I'm on RF. I hope I sound better.
Roger, Roy, roger.
Okay, very good. Anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, artificial intelligence. Let's see. Okay. OpenAI has released GPT 5.5 for what it's worth. Anthropic has released 4.7 of Opus. Anthropic Mythos has had, unfortunately, their own little security breach. So people are reading source code for Mythos, and everyone is scary. And other people are saying that it's all a hype and that there's nothing particularly special about Mythos except that it probably runs too slow and is too expensive, and they would have problems getting people to actually spend a tenth of the money that it costs them to run the compute time. Intel is getting a little surge from the AI secondhand, even though their chips are not the most important for the AI expansion. They're seeing some improvement, and people are a little bit more optimistic these days. Apple, of course, has changed CEOs. And Maine's governor signed a law that basically put a hold on data centers, and then was talked into relenting for at least one data center that's planned in Maine. So the motivation to build an infinite number of data centers seemed to be hitting a wall, like most things in AI. So that's the short and the long of it. There's nothing particularly amazing otherwise happening. I've grown more suspicious. We talked last week about reports of artificial intelligent devices that basically try to blackmail their the people working on their systems. In retrospect, doing more research on it, it seems that a lot of those cases were kind of a BS. There was a lot of blackmail suggested in the prompts to the AI. So it was kind of goaded into that so that they could probably write a paper or an article and get a lot of publicity, because this is all kind of degenerating somewhat into a publicity machine. Again, I understand it. There are trillions of dollars running on it. There are...
Hello?
like I said, there's trillions of dollars are running on the line, so there's a lot of people who are going to make up news and lie, unfortunately. We'll figure it out eventually when the dust settles. Anyway, that's my little short bits and pieces of artificial intelligence. If anyone has any particular comments, please feel free, hit that push to talk and say your piece.
There was an interesting article in the Times about, or actually it was the Atlantic, where they were talking about who's, when the AI gives us an answer, they want to know how it arrived at that answer, and that's becoming a big mystery. They want to know, when it does the analysis, how did it reach the conclusion that it did? And that is a big issue now. If you understand what I mean. Thank you, Roy.
Well, I mean, the underlying principle is understood because the algorithms, you know, are kind of based on a white paper released, I think, in 2017 by Google, the basis for generative transform technology. It's a probability tree of finishing a sentence or a paragraph or a chapter or what have you. It takes the words that you give it as a prompt, as the beginning of the thought, and then using the training material and the latest and greatest supposedly have anywhere from 1 trillion to 10 trillion parameters. The parameters are probabilities of, you know, what comes next after a string of words. And there are sophisticated complications to that, and you can't really kind of go through the code yourself and simulate the software doing its probability, but the basis of transforms, of generative transforms, is that it takes the prompt and simply a very big lookup table and tries to predict the most likely next word in the group and does it repeatedly throughout the answer. So as I think we emailed back and forth, the actual process and what's going on is somewhat a black box, in that a lot of times the probabilities are kind of skewed a little bit and they come up with errors. And that's one of the problems with generative transform. If it can't find the next probable answer, word for the sentence, it will, unfortunately, it tends to make it up. It really wants to make the user happy, and so it's relatively rare that it says, I don't have the faintest idea to the answer that you're asking me. It just kind of, like a lot of techno bros, they just make it up as they go along sometimes.
This particular article dealt with Alzheimer's, and it came up with a thing where loose blood cells or loose blood chains, the system, if they were short, they ended up having a higher probability of Alzheimer's. So the doctors wanted to know how it reached that conclusion, and that became the question. How did AI come up with this possible predictive factor? And it seems that the factor may be true, but they want to know how AI came up with it. Anyway, Roy, that's my 2 cents for this evening.
Okay, well, either it was something correctly or incorrectly in its learning table, its parameters, or else it confabulated, it hallucinated. I guess as time goes on, they'll figure out if it's legitimate or not. You know, things can be legitimate, can seem legitimate. That's what the hallucinations are. When one of our listeners mentioned that he had a famous uncle, and I think it was ChatGPT, knew his uncle by information that it taught things about him. But when the our listener asked the GPT what his wife's name was. He just made up a woman's name. So in the same way that hallucinations are reasonable answers, if you don't know what the actual answer is, it's very possible that an unknown explanation is equally not terribly legitimate, but simply something that fits the probabilities without being particularly correct. But I thank you for participating, Sam. Anyone else with any AI comments before we move to the main segment?
KF2YR.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm kind of new to all of this, but could you clarify what you meant by hallucination?
Yeah. Hallucinations are what they call when artificial intelligence gives an answer that it seems to be very sure of, because there's no equivocating with AIs. They you know, you ask them a question and they, what's my name? Although if you ask it, what's my name, it's smart enough to know that it doesn't know you, so it's not going to answer. But if it were, who's the wife of a famous person that's somewhat obscure, they won't say, I don't know, or I think it is. They'll say, it's Glenda. And that's called a hallucination. When AI basically lies and gives a false answer, it's not that they know they're lying, they just don't know the truth.
Gotcha. Very good. Thank you very much. That's basically what we would call BSing on the street. Thank you. KF2YR.
Yes, but they do it very well. I've known a few people with that talent in life that they are absolutely positively sure of a completely wrong and ridiculous answer.
Yeah, I agree. Just look at the political landscape without getting into any detail. Again, thank you, KF2YR.
You're welcome. Anyone else with any comments before we move on? Yep. We're in our little AI segment for a little bit longer, I guess, but we'll move into the main segment soon. Ah, Echo Link is back, by the way, so thanks to whoever did that. I guess I'm not going to bother to shift back to All-Star, because apparently everyone can hear me using RF, and I won't have the duplex, but I can deal with that. Anyway, anyone else with any AI-related comments before we move on to the main segment? Yes, Wes?
For AI, knowing that it's lying, it's an emotional state. So AI is just a tape recorder with quick search compatible to the hard drive. And in our times, compatible to SSD. True or wrong?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. It's not capable of thinking. It's not capable of emotion. It doesn't know it's lying. It just doesn't know the answer. And unfortunately, the nature of generative transform doesn't frequently allow it to admit such things. So it simply looks for the highest probability, even though it's beyond the probabilities of being correct. And then you just get fiction. So, and it's, again, a lot more glorified than simply a hard drive, because it doesn't just have, it doesn't store the data as simply as information on a hard drive. It operates by training the probabilities of words that go in a string together. And so, it's more of a massive database of parameters with probability numbers set to each parameter.
Gotcha.
That was a rather noisy transmission. You want to try again? Yeah, I mean, the part of the term for what's going on is called machine learning. And if you don't give it the information, if you don't give it the training material and have it generate the parameter probabilities, it has nothing else to go on. And if your training material doesn't include, in the version that I mentioned earlier, a famous person's not-so-famous wife, obviously what happened was the training material did not include his last wife's name, first name. But again, since generative chance form tends to want to help people and want people to like it, well, not really like it, but it's programmed to be obsequious and very complimentary. Sometimes it can inflate people's ego. It never kind of takes the data and runs with it. It usually says, "That's a good point, sir," type of thing. So yeah, it's machine learning. That's the problem. This is not something capable of new information. It can't conceive of something it hasn't been trained on yet. Well, that's why a lot of people don't trust it. I mean, if you want to spend time double-checking it, it's significantly better. But then if you have to double-check it, why can't you just do it yourself, some people think, and they go on that way. I mean, every few weeks you'll read another article that some unfortunate lawyer decided to have his paperwork made up by some AI module that made up a case. Some research paper that made up other research paper results. So unfortunately, the tendency to be a little lazy and not to double check AI's work, it gets people into trouble repeatedly. And, you know, I mean, I tend not to particularly trust AI. I think it's a great parlor trick, although I've kind of learned the way AIs tend to put stories together, so every so often I'll listen to a YouTube with an obvious synthesized voice and have the telltale signs of an AI having generated that YouTube, which annoys the heck out of me, because I don't particularly mind synthesized voices, although it can get a little tedious, but I do mind synthesized YouTubes. There are problems with it, plus the fact that it gets things wrong. Simple things sometimes, is rather weirdly, but I've come across many, many AI generated YouTubes, and unfortunately I would love for them to label it that way so that I could free my time of it. Yeah, unfortunately, I think younger people are going to rely on it a great deal, both to the detriment of information. Unfortunately, I understand that the companies are starting to train their AI on stuff on the internet that's actually AI, and that usually deteriorates the parameter values and such. So the other thing that really saddens me is, very much like when calculators first came on, people threw away their slide rules and they didn't bother memorizing their multiplication tables, And a lot of people don't have the math skills that they used to with because of calculators. And unfortunately, this is really a global version of a calculator. It's faking thinking. And so a lot of younger people are not practicing critical thinking, and they're going to be in trouble when they're a little bit older. And, you know, AIs are not going to get them out of trouble. So that's my big concern with the future generations using AI too much. I'm sorry, you're dropping out of the repeater. It's just, most of it is noise, and then you just completely drop out. If there's any way you could, if you're working on a handy talkie, if you can kind of put it next to the window or fiddle with it a little bit, maybe you can get the signal a little stronger. Okay, well, maybe it's, when you get that tower up, your signal will be nice and booming into the repeater.
Uh, 73.
Anyone else want to comment about AI before we move on to the main segment?
KD2BHD.
Yes, Jim.
I point out that the whole of a toxically dishonest person is making up answers to questions that's been posed to them when they don't know the answer. Instead of saying, I don't know, they make something up. They are the kind of person that nobody should ever trust. Seems like AI is slotting right into that category. End of comment.
AC2GS. Well, you see, you're kind of falling into the trap. You're anthropomorphizing them. They're not living organisms. They're not capable of inherently lying. They're just subject to the flaws of the way they were built.
Like a dishonest human, or something like that.
Okay, I mean, I tend to think of it as, you know, kind of because someone took a rock and threw it at a person, you know, that's sort of the same as saying that's an evil rock. Yeah, Jim, you're doubling with KF2YR. KF2YR, kind of wait a little bit time, and, you know, if Jim is talking, wait until he's finished, because both of you have been talking over each other at least three times tonight. Anyway. I don't think you could, again, AI is an algorithm. It's a server rack. It's not a thinking thing. It means you no harm. It means you no good. It's indifferent, just as any rock that you could find on the earth. So I don't particularly blame algorithms. I blame the people who are using it to gain trillions of dollars. That's who I tend to blame.
KF2YR.
Yes.
Also named Jim. This is only the fourth time that I've transmitted here, so I don't know where the three doubling ups were. But anyway, what I was saying is you can't blame a machine for what the programmer does. It's garbage in, garbage out. Same problem that we've always had. You can't do that, you know? And like you said, it's a machine. You know, if you drive your car and you hit somebody with it from your negligence, you can't blame the car.
Well, that brings up a big future legal problem. If you have a AI that's driving your car and you're involved in an accident, the big legal question eventually, it's in the courts already, but it's going to get probably a lot worse before it gets better. You know, who's liable? Is Elon liable because he sold you the auto driver? Are you liable because you believed Elon? Is the universe liable? So, you know, there's a lot of that type of law that's going to be seen in years coming on to us. So, yeah, that's another problem with AI.
I agree, but you know whose fault it isn't? It's the machine's not fault. It's not. It may be Elon's. It may be the sellers, the dealers. It may be the person behind the wheel. But it's not the machine's fault.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I do not blame non-conscious devices that were created by other people, trained by other people, and used by other people. Like I said, they're just a rock, or you know, they're a hammer. I use that repeatedly, so I'll do use it again. You know, if you take a hammer and you build a house, that's a nice thing. Is that hammer a nice object? Not necessarily. If you bash your neighbor's skull in, is the hammer an evil object? Not really. It's simply a tool, and people tend to use the tool well or badly.
Comment.
Yes, Jim.
Analogies I love. You know I love them. They're one of the best ways to transmit ideas to think about. But the hammer and the rock idea analogies are really, really weak in that rarely do people talk to their hammers or their rocks. And much more rarely than that do they talk back. And never do they talk back authoritatively and they're taken as the truth. This is a more troubling circumstance than is being recognized, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, as a person who trained in Kings County G building, there are more than a few people who talk to rocks and the rocks talk back to them, or at least that's what they tell you.
You don't take the rock's advice if you're smart. If you're not smart or you're ill, well, that's a different situation. But we're proposing that, well, people should take these things seriously, and I support that they should not.
Well, again, I agree with you, Jim, in these cases. I'm very cautious. I'm not 100% against them. I think they will have niche uses. I think they're worth billions of dollars when push comes to shove, but I don't think they're going to be worth trillions of dollars, at least not until some other method of producing a simulation of consciousness is discovered and built, which I think is intrinsically possible, but I don't think we have it yet. Generative transforms are not thinking algorithms. They are just database driven on their parameter list. They may have a very large parameter list. They may be very well designed, not to screw around too much, but the inherent nature of generative transform is to introduce hallucinations and therefore errors. You know, even a 1% or a 2% error on a driving algorithm is going to end up killing people.
Comment.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this is nothing that hasn't been talked about already, but why aren't these AI, let's just take ChatGPT or whatever have you, citing the sources? And it may be a rhetorical question because they don't want to pay the sources for that. So it's all hidden behind smoke and mirrors. If they would tell you, here's where I found the information, you can go check for yourself some of these things and see if I've done a good job. You could also report back and it could learn. from the user if the user has deemed it to have done a good job. But do you see where I'm going? There is no list, there is no bibliography, if you will. Go ahead, Roy, KC2SHO.
Well, if you want to request it, they are capable of generating sometimes completely fake sources. That's what gets people into the biggest amount of trouble. When you have it generate something with a bibliography, I think the federal government and the health department did that, and people actually went to the bibliography. They found that some of the studies proved the exact opposite than what was cited, and some of the studies didn't even exist. So that is not the problem. The problem is if it doesn't have the correct information, it'll simply give you a believable incorrect, complete with bibliography.
Well, that's something I would surely have to understand deeper, how it can not even reference a real source. But, you know, I just wonder if part of the answer also is that admitting the source would admit that they need to pay some of these sources something in return, you know. And maybe, I don't know, maybe if it doesn't want to do that, or the coders who put this all together don't want to do that, we're in for trouble. Yeah, I don't really understand how it can have a fake source. How can it be generative? I mean, I guess, well, that's weird. How could it be generative? Yeah, because it's generating. But where does it get something from nothing? I don't understand.
Well, most likely it's not that it's getting something from nothing. What it's doing is it sort of has a probabilistic parameters for source materials because it's been trained on source materials. And if it doesn't have an available source material, it can just look at the probabilities and make up something that sounds legitimate. I mean, that's the whole point of its existence. Is just dealing with the probability of what the next word in the chain of words is. And it kind of learns that through its parameter training. Doesn't have to be a legitimate one. It could be, you know, one from column A, one from column B, one from column C. And, you know, you take one author from one study, another author from another study, and then kind of retrace your steps and make up a title that's consistent with what you're trying to put together. And that's the problem, is that unless you know your stuff, these things sound legitimate. They don't sound terribly illegitimate. And so some people who don't want to be bothered to look up if every study exists will simply make the assumption that, you know, they came up with this study. It must be a study, at least. In some cases it is, but the results were completely wrong. But other times it's completely fictitious. And you know, when they presented that white paper from the health department, you know, every reporter worth their salary went to research it and found it, you know, in a couple of days. But you know, people in the federal government don't want to spend money checking computers, I guess.
K2STP.
Yes, Chris.
Interestingly, they sometimes do give you sources. I've gotten it a few, some technical questions back where the source was, and sometimes they do that because they give you two answers, and they give the two different sources for the part of the info, and they say, it'll say, you know, source A says this, and source B says this. It doesn't say, I don't know which one's right. And takes an educated guess. But sometimes if a source doesn't exist, that's completely normal because they feed these things tons of data over a year or two or three or even more. And sometimes it's just something Google, for a bad example, they'll feed it Google. And they might do that in 2026, but that software might not get released till 2028. And in 2028, that document or article might not exist on the internet anymore, so you'd be able to find it. But it was fed that data 2 years ago when they were building that model. So sometimes that can happen, and that's, they're not hiding it. It's just doesn't exist any longer. That's all.
KC2GS. Yeah, it's a bunch of different things going on. If you specifically ask for sources, most likely it'll give you them, whether they exist or not. And also, John mentioned earlier about learning from their experiences. Unfortunately, most of these artificial intelligences really can't fundamentally be trained on the fly. Training for parameters is a separate thing. Sometimes it can be bundled with fresh web sites that it's trained on, but it has a lot of problems remembering what you put into it. There are some algorithms that actually repeat your words embedded in its internal prompt that you're doing part of, to just remind it of information that you gave it, so during the session it remembers things that you said. One of the common problems is when it just forgets bits and pieces of what you've been sending it that particular session.
Yeah, there's another thing here. Boy, there's with sources, you know, if you ask it a technical question, it might review 10,000 articles and compare them and try to come up with the best answer based on what the majority of the articles. I mean, people know if you search Google a question, you can get six different answers to the same question. And it has to go through that and decide, all right, which one is most legitimate or which makes more sense. And that's all that's going on. It's really just people are looking at these like they're people or a mind. It really isn't. It's just a piece of software. Like the previous gentleman said, it's the program. However the programmer wrote it, don't come up with a blank answer, you know. Come up with, if you can't find the answer, make something up. I mean, that was a programmer's decision, you know, to do it that way, that's all.
Yeah, but it seems to be endemic. Some smart guy suggested that he would prefer these AIs not to be designed to present information as though it was a chatbot. That maybe it could be, you know, some way like Google used to be when you did searches, you know, where it never would kind of compliment you on an excellent keyword or some nonsense like that. There's a kind of, you know, emotional lying that's going on through the algorithm, where it's presenting itself as some creature that's capable, maybe not of thought, but of complimenting you for your ideas.
Yeah, I would think they do that on purpose to make it look smarter and make people think they are talking to a person. I mean, it's having the result that they're looking for, probably. And then, you know, then they make money that way. You know, you know my opinion on it. It's all useless. It's just garbage. And, you know, it's nonsense. It's just programming. The only thing really I see AI ever doing, and it is good at, is producing multiple. If you have to task, like make 1,000 spreadsheets, and they all start the same way, and just tell it to make the 1,000 spreadsheets for you. You know, repetitive type things like that. Simple example, but things like that it can do, or to evaluate things like. We talked about this before, the MRIs. They had AI study MRIs and look at the bad ones and the good ones and try to come up with a method of AI looking at an MRI and saying if you have a problem or not, rather than having doctors look at it. But things like that, it probably will work when they perfect it. Other than that, it's a waste of time.
Query?
Yes.
Thank you. I was reading something very recently where companies, AI companies, were saying they wanted to hire people, programmers, or actually non-programmers to help, quote-unquote, humanize the AI program by helping them to word their answers better, and it occurred to me, it's like, this is going to, you know, if it's not already, it's going to wind up turning it into, like, Wikipedia or something, you know? If everyone's input, all these different people's input into it is going to affect its output, and that's just, like I said earlier, garbage in, garbage out.
Well, I mean, a lot of what we call AI slop is averaging. Everything is being averaged. It has no emotional center. It's just kind of like you took the answers of 1,000 people, ground it up, and just took the average answer and just submitted them. Now, I think that would be a terrible thing to do, to teach AI to be more human. The problem is, it appears falsely far too human. I would reduce it to Wikipedia or a Google search, where you kind of know that you're dealing with some creature with dead eyes, you know, in their virtual head, as opposed to some convivial chum that helps you out and gives you advice. Because, you know, the worst thing that you could do is take advice from AIs, because, again, their normal tendency is to inflate the user's ego. They will always agree with you. If you tell them ridiculous things, they will agree with you. One of the earliest experiments that I did on ChatGPT, I don't remember if it was 4.0. I don't think so. It was probably one of the 3.0 series. I convinced it that 2 plus 2 is 17. You know, I just had to explain to it that it was 17, and they apologized for the error on their part. And 2 plus 2 is 17. So I want something that's obviously a robot-like thing. I don't want a fake human being, because that gives you false confidence in it. One of the major things, unfortunately, is that as human beings, we are very sensitive to well-constructed language. If something gives us an answer in very well-written English, we impose a certain extra status on that, as opposed to if someone is somewhat ungrammatical.
Comment?
Yes.
KE2, India Golf Fox. Thanks for the discussion tonight. I've been listening for a couple of months now. I just want to comment here. So I've been using ChatGPT after a long period of abstinence. I'm formally trained as a philosopher, and I work as a technical instructor at an automotive institute. And so I got into it, testing it out a little bit, and I've got three examples very quickly. The first being is that my students want to use it to give them instant answers, as many of the rightful criticism in this net here tonight are pointing out along those lines. What I want to make them do is how I circumvent this is I already give them the answer. I say, here is the problem, and here is the definition of the problem by the customer. Connect the dots and hit the targets in between these according to a logical method of attack and procedure. Okay, so even if they use an AI tool to do that, it is useless, okay, at that point, right? I mean, if you're using the tool, you still have to understand the nature of its what you're inputting into it, and what the output should look like, or how to interpret the output in some sort of meaningful way. Number two, I've used it as a diagnostic tool myself to resolve a problem, drivability problem on a vehicle, and that I was having some trouble with, and it did help me. In particular, because it helped me stop focusing on one aspect of the problem and shift my focus to another aspect, which then opened up another avenue for me to resolve the problem. The problem with using it, once again, is that I'm already trained, and I know when it's giving me, I'm watching it to make sure that it's giving me valid paths. So what can happen is, if you have someone that is not trained using that to
solve a problem, an advanced diagnostic problem on anything, be it medicine, automotive technology, electronics, okay, it will eventually, if it doesn't solve the problem right away, it will eventually go into a diagnostic loop saying plan A didn't work, try plan B, plan B didn't work.
Andy.
AM2YR, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim?
No, the repeater dropped, and it's been a while since I ID'd, so I just ID'd.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. AM2YR.
Yeah, I think someone timed out the repeater there. You got to let it drop every so often.
Okay, you two, India Call Fox. Yeah, I heard a beep there. Sorry about that. I was almost finished there. I hope that did any of that get through? Thank you.
I got the first 2 points. I didn't hear the third.
Thank you. Last point was, if you're not trained using that tool to go into a diagnostic problem, if one of its outputs doesn't work, then it can get into a diagnostic loop or a thought loop where if the first solution doesn't work, go to solution two. If the second solution doesn't work, go to solution one. And then you're stuck unless you know how to get it out of that. Thank you.
Okay, I'm glad you're not making things simple for your students. I don't think a lot of educators, unfortunately, have learned to do that or feel that they want to be bothered to do that. I don't know. I guess different people have different attitudes. Unfortunately, there are more than a few cases of educators use cutting corners by using AI to generate material for their students. So it's a mess on both sides. And yeah, if you know the answer already, then the AI can sometimes, once you check its work, can produce very eloquent English. It might be a little less emotional than most people would kind of get used to. But that's seldom the case. It's usually people who don't know it, who don't want to look it up. And this is their get out of jail laziness card. So I appreciate what you said. And there are, I always consider myself someplace in the middle. We have some participants here who think it's a complete grift and it's worthless and it's junk. And other people who think it's the second coming. I'm someplace in the middle where it's a good parlor trick for most things. It can sometimes help you think through a problem. I've heard some people describe artificial intelligence as having a conversation with the mirror, in which they bounce back thoughts from themselves to the AI, then from themselves, and they come up with a better way of explaining things or understanding things. So I think there is a benefit to it, but I think it's easy to be abused, and I worry about people taking advantage of the technology and screwing themselves up and everything else. I understand that there's a lot of software problems that are occurring even in Microsoft, primarily, they suggest, because they're letting the AI do a lot of the coding practices. And there have been more than a few stories of software kind of going into the crapper. So, again, I think it's an important field because I think it's going to bankrupt us soon. I think it's eventually going to change civilization, but I don't think it's going to do it this year or the next 10 or 20 years. I think this is another case of fusion, where fusion is 20 years down the road, and maybe for a couple of hundred years, consistently 20 more years down the road.
Final follow-up, please.
Sure.
Along with the comment earlier about whoever it was that was saying, I mean, I agree with you on that, on some of those sentiments that it is useful as an assistant and as a potential guide and that sort of thing, but, you know, you can't put it first. You've got to have it alongside you, and I see some use for that as well personally. Now, someone had said earlier that we put away our slide rulers and we got calculators and we lost some of our mathematical ability or something like that. Fine. You know, I know that there's some Trekkies out there on the net, okay, and if you watch the J.J. Abrams reboot, the kindergartners were doing calculus because that's where the math was. And that's where the math got to. So it just got that far. That was it. We skipped all the little stuff at that point.
Okay, I mean that's a nice wish. Unfortunately, I discovered long ago that the kids aren't even taught how to read a clock, an analog clock. I know far too many guys who grew up and they're stuck with digital timepieces because they can't read a clock. They can't write in script. And I don't see anything particularly taking their places. I mean, I assume that calculus is taught in high school. That was the same thing 50 years ago when I took calculus. So, you know, I mean, Star Trek, I love Star Trek. It's a somewhat altruistic, some kind of deeply optimistic possibility of the future. You know, there's not particularly even money used. There might, some episodes there are credits, I think, but others there's not. You know, you have to go over for the gold-filled latinum, you know, on Deep Space Nine in order to get money. But, you know, I don't see it being replaced right now. I see, unfortunately, things being dropped because it's deemed not particularly necessary that I think is a useful skill set.
Real quick, 73 KF2YR clear.
Okay, Jim, thank you for participating. You know where we are if you need us.
Andrew's incoming.
Yes, Wesley.
Okay. Very interesting conversation. We have tested airplanes. Until the failure was almost impossible before we fly out on it. But we employed AI, not even thinking it's safe. True or false?
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at. We've simulated models. We've used supercomputers to do simulations. They're complicated models. They're not exactly artificial intelligence. They're not large language models per se. They don't work like large language models. They don't have, you know, trillions of parameters like large language models. And most of the supercomputers that were used to simulate sophisticated physics on sophisticated theoretical equipment didn't use, as far as I'm aware, GPUs. They just used regular type supercomputers of the era. You know, they've been around for decades. So I'm not quite sure what you're alluding to when you're talking about model simulations versus large language models. They're kind of two different things.
No, I'm talking about application. Over time, as I said, we have a computer system, we have a network system, we have a medical field, and we have an AI that is employed everywhere almost, to a certain extent. And then we talk about the safety. And I was comparing it to use all the airplanes that we tested and we checked, and we have a certain regulation. And then we allowed people to fly on it and have a license. But we employed AI not even thinking it's safe. True or false?
Is someone else talking?
KD2VHD, comment for Wesley.
Okay, feel free.
See, you make a good point. We had to take a test to speak on this radio. We're keying up right now. And we have little impact in the nature of the world we live in. AI is having a major impact. Half of all people are below average, and most of those people are on the internet. And they believe the crap that's getting fed to them. So you make an important question, Wesley. Back to you.
AC2GS. Look, a lot of things are released untested and they're dangerous. You know, there were all kinds of remedies that were based on radioactive material back in the early part of the 20th century. People are